Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Matt Swallows. And on our show, we like to talk about local topics, issues, and they don't have to be just local, just any topic or issue out there that you hear about, you read about, but you want to know maybe a little bit more about, dive deeper into it. And last week, we were fortunate enough to have Miss Judy Quillacy Timke, correct?
Yep.
All right. I've gotten that right three times now. But we're going to stick with Judy Q. She was with us last week to talk about her background, and her career as a formulator and in the study of a lot of products, not just CBD. Now, we want to focus this week on CBD, which she's done a lot of research on. She provides dietary supplement education from a formulator's view, which is based on research. And I'm going to touch on this, or she'll touch on this, I'm sure. It's based on research. This is not based on her trying to sell a product. She's a scientist, a product formulator, and has worked for major companies in the dietary supplement industry, such as Rexall and Weider Nutrition. Her education is in dietetics, exercise physiology, and nutrition. And Judy speaks from the science and not to sell products. Again, we're going to say that probably more than once. She's here to talk about the science of these products. And so thank you for joining us again, Judy.
Welcome.
So at the end of last week, we started finally to barely skim the surface on CBD. So we dissected it as far as CBD is a product of hemp, which hemp and marijuana are completely different. So marijuana has high THC levels, which is what makes you high. Mm-hmm. And hemp / CBD has very low THC levels. Okay.
Yes.
So question is, it has THC. CBD has THC. So does CBD make you high?
Right. And so what's really nice, it's in the scientific literature. CBD actually opposes the action of THC at the CB1 receptor and a few other receptors. So consequently, it counteracts the effect of THC, which would actually help to increase a person getting high. And so the FDA has a very strict regulation right now, and I think we're going to see more regulations from the FDA, but that hemp products or the CBD products need to be 0.3% of THC or lower. And so that, you know, that's something that companies need to maintain. You can call them up and ask them, you know, if they have a spec sheet that they can show you and so forth. But anyway.
So is it 0.03 or 0.3?
So it is 0.3%.
Okay, so 0.3%. Okay, so here's another question. So CBD, will you fail a drug test if you're taking CBD? Do you know that? Now, this is a pop question. We didn't even discuss this, but I'm just curious. You know,
it is a good question.
Give you a little background. Okay, mm-hmm. So I'm in the insurance business. I do a lot of commercial insurance, workers' comp insurance. Okay, when you get injured on the job, you have to take a drug test for workers' comp to cover. If someone's taking CBD, and I'll just tell you, the insurance industry doesn't really know about this either. We don't know how to handle this. You know, what if they're taking CBD? Can they pass that drug test? Do you know that question?
I don't know. And I know that there are certain botanicals, and I think it's saw palmetto, that actually, you know, would come up positive on a drug test. So it's like craziness of people taking supplements in general.
Right.
You know, so I don't know at this point.
I guess from an give insurance industry a black eye here, because that's my business. That's what I'm in. But I guess at least there's some basis to argue, hey, I'm on CBD. This is not, you know, marijuana. This is if there's trace levels
of
CBD. So,
yeah,
so at least there's an argument there that can, you know, you can kind of combat the the testing. But okay, so it doesn't make you high. Is it safe?
Okay, so the FDA is looking at all that right now, and I think they're kind of watching to see if anything's going to happen. In general, I mean, there's a lot of research that shows short-term that it's safe on people that are not taking medication. But, you know, it's at this point, it's unknown. I mean, again, there's some supplements out there that could actually cause harm, but not. But at this point, I would say in small doses for a healthy person, it shows that there's no side effects.
I'm going to back up a little bit. This is kind of a basic question. So how long has CBD been around? How long has it been? It's probably been around a long time. it's just become, from my viewpoint, popular in the last three to five years. But do you know how long it's been around, or how long the product itself? And I thought you mentioned at one point in the 90s, is it in the 90s is when they?
Well, and what's interesting, I mean, it goes back to BC. I mean, it's been used, the plant has been used, you know, for centuries and centuries. But in the early 1990s, they began to really do research on the endocannabinoid system.
Okay.
And then it's like, wow, when I start looking at it, it's all new science. I taught anatomy and physiology, and it was like, wow, this wasn't there at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's exciting. And so that's when they really began to look at the receptors. And CB1 and CB2 are very highly reviewed in the literature, you know, so major effects on these receptors.
I'm going to dumb it down a little bit. Yeah, CB1 and CB2, what, you said receptors. What exactly? Those nerve receptors?
No, they are receptors in the body that basically will have a function on cells as well as brain function. And it's hard to explain physiological processes. So, for example, you know, as we're talking about THC having an effect on the CB1, there is also a review with animals and in vitro on pain and inflammation.
Okay.
So, again, it's kind of gray, but it's all new science. Mm-hmm. And not a lot has been done in humans as much as in animals at this point, looking at the receptors.
Gotcha. Okay. So we've mentioned anxiety. We've mentioned pain, inflammation. Does this have health benefits, and what exactly are the health benefits?
Okay.
Or is it the three that we've just spoke of? I mean, is it different for everybody? I don't know.
Well, and the two major areas of research, okay, I don't want to say that people that take it and they feel good, I don't say, oh, well, shame on you. There's no research. That's ridiculous, you know, because we don't really know yet.
It reacts differently to everyone, right?
Well, and actually, I mean, according to the research, there may be something with pain and inflammation. We just don't know yet. And then there's studies with THC and CBD. So I think we'll know more. But the two major areas, I would say, are anxiety in, you know, with humans. And also there's been some research with sleep. So, you know, there has been some research that shows that because it has a sedation effect, there was some research that was done with a crossover study with people. So a crossover study is where people took either CBD and then medication. So they first tried the CBD, you know, in the trial, and then the medication. So it's considered crossover. And in the study, different doses were used. It started at like 40 to 160 milligrams. The highest dose of 160 milligrams significantly increased sleep time over the medication. So that was really interesting. And the people that took the CBD did not, they had less dream recall. And I kind of paused on that and thought about it. And, you know, it's just information from the study. But overall, you know, I believe that there'll be more research on sleep going forward. And the doses, again, no rhyme or reason. What is out there that would compare to this? We don't know.
Okay, because so, that was my next question.
Yes.
You know, what, you know, you see 25 milligrams, 300 milligrams, 100 milligrams, whatever. I mean, I don't even know what a common dose is and what's too high or scary. You know, you shouldn't do that for sure.
Exactly.
You know, like, you know, it's labeled pretty obvious on an ibuprofen bottle. Don't take more than X amount in 24 hours, you know? And so, okay, I can follow that rule. But since I don't know that there's guidelines out there, is there?
Well, and it's hard because the research, it was with a powder form. And it's difficult when you're looking at a tincture, you're looking at a liquid form. And so I try to be humble and, you know, share that. I mean, people that are healthy, that are taking it and may feel an effect, they may have to, you know, use different doses to determine. Again, I'd say talk with their healthcare practitioner, which they may not know, but to see what works best for them, because at this point there's no regulation.
Right.
And again, I think FTC and FDA are going to be doing more review, and they will come down with stricter laws. And I don't know how long it's going to be. Mm-hmm. Also, there are drug patents that are either in effect or coming with CBD. So that may be something eventually that we'll see more of, that will actually be drugs that will be provided by a healthcare provider.
I guess I'm a little surprised. This seems such a popular topic in a popular product that the pharmaceutical companies haven't raced out there and got their hands on CBD and made it into a medicine.
It takes time because first it goes through what's called, IND status, and it has to be tested. A lot of research has to be done. So I believe that is being done, but they just can't throw it out there yet. So probably within the next 5 years, we're going to see some major things, happen in this industry. Right now, I think what concerns me is people don't know what to believe. There's so much out there. I saw an advertisement for pure CBD. It's like, what is pure CBD?
That sounds like marketing to me.
Exactly. It's like, looking at the research, looking at spec sheets, maybe they're talking about low THC. What is pure? So,
But it's all supposed to be low THC, right?
Yeah. Also, again, larger companies that have other products have to meet requirements for what's called CGMP, which is good manufacturing practices from the FDA. So going with a company that maybe people don't know, I would be more concerned because you don't know if they're doing all the regulatory work that they need to do with CGMPs.
So going back to doses, is it also safe to say or safe to assume that based off of what form you take it in, whether it be a gummy, drops, or whatever other form they have, I'm sure they have all kinds of different forms to take. Chewables, would that also maybe affect how it reacts inside you or affect the dosage size?
Yes, I definitely would say it would definitely have an effect. The concern about gummies is that, and I don't know about CBDs, but basically gummies go through a very high heat process, which can destroy, for example, water-soluble vitamins. Mm-hmm. And so a little bit of a concern that is a possibility that there would be a loss of actives. Don't know. But if it was me, I would probably, go with a powder or a liquid. That would be, but again, I'm just guessing at this point. I don't
That's
know.
Just based off of maybe other products that are in gummy form or liquid form.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we've been meeting today with Ms. Judy Q, a product formulator with a vast knowledge and history in all products from CoQ10, CBD, et cetera. We've been meeting with her today, diving into the CBD and I guess some characteristics of it and some myths about it. And when we return on the second half of the show, we're going to talk a little bit more about maybe some of the myths out there about CBD when we return to Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Matt Swallows, and with us today we have Miss Judy Q, who was with us last week, and we are still talking about CBD and what we know and what we don't know about it. And honestly, there's some studies and some research, but there's just not a lot of long-term research yet, and there seems to be, it's an ongoing thing. So I guess one question is, and I've gotten this question before, and I see where it's coming from. Is CBD/hemp legal? Is it legal? And I don't really know. I feel like it is, but definitively I don't know that.
So basically, I guess a positive thing for the industry is Congress passed the 2018 Farm Bill legalizing hemp. So the Farm Bill, it removes hemp from the Controlled Substance Act and allows farmers to actually to pursue federal hemp cultivation permits. The issue is individual states can regulate the industry within their own borders however they want. And so, you know, it's hard. I mean, right now, FDA is doing a lot. They're making a lot of decisions. But the positive thing is that it was made legal. Hemp was passed in 2018. So
from a federal level.
A federal level. And so so at this point, companies on the FTC side, companies, as far as I know, are not making claims, which would be an FTC no-no, but they're selling it. And until the FDA says otherwise, it will be the individual states that will make the decisions on the regulatory status.
We'll go one step further. Hemp is legal, but does it really address CBD? I mean, since CBD is a product of hemp, I imagine CBD follows suit as legal, but does it even address it really, the law that you know of?
I think it's gray right now. And I don't have that information. I'm actually going to be learning more within the next month about the regulatory status, throughout the country. But at this point, I'm not real familiar, but it's being sold and hope for the best, you know?
Another question, does CBD, does it help with pain? The theme here is we don't necessarily know all the health benefits yet. There's some research out there for different topics of benefit, but we don't, I guess, don't know long term. But anyway, does CBD help with pain that you know of?
So, you know, my role or what I had done recently is written a review of the literature on CBD and what it does. And so in the area of pain, so stepping back and looking at the endocannabinoid system, it's very involved with joint inflammation in the joints. And so the endocannabinoids are made in the body and they're released during inflammation. So it's kind of like a response that they're released when inflammation occurs and when there's certain what's called pro-inflammatory compounds are released. So it actually helps. So then it's kind of like going back and looking at what cannabinoids actually can be provided that will actually reduce pain. Well, CBD has been studied for pain, but many of the studies have been performed with THC.
Oh, okay.
the marijuana, cannabinoid. So, and there is research in animal models, but it's not known how CBD works in humans. So at this point, I think that there's potential, but we really don't know yet.
Okay. And so the studies that they're doing, it's also CBD involving THC. Now, CBD has 0.03% of THC. So I guess they're in that study, they're probably using a higher percentage of THC.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, CBD counteracts THC at the receptor site. So I think, these investigators have really been looking at the combination and seeing some benefit on its effects. And I didn't look at that, but I think, there's some real potential of the combination for future use, probably especially on the medical side.
Yeah. Yeah. Do they mention in the research what levels of THC they're using in that?
No, because basically, and I didn't review those studies, but they usually get generic and they don't go in depth unless you actually contact the investigators and they would give you a spec sheet as to what the level was. But that's a really good question. Okay. That would be interesting.
I mean, and we're getting a little bit off topic here, and I'm sorry because I really don't know much about all this stuff, but are there certain levels of THC that are dangerous for you to take, I guess?
I would, and again, it's something I haven't really investigated yet, but I would say definitely.
Okay.
Because with anything, there's going to be some negative effect. And it's interesting because of the bell-shaped curve, with CBD. So it shows that the moderate dose is actually effective versus really low doses or really high. But do we really know what the really high doses would affect the body? We don't know.
Right. And we don't know what a moderate dose is either, right?
I mean, not really. And the one study was 300 milligrams, but it's difficult to compare what is being sold on the market, you know, with that. So I don't want to confuse people. I'm just kind of sharing what's in the literature. But in general, I think, number one, it's good to check with a healthcare practitioner. And number two, kind of, you know, just try the product to see how one would feel. And normally I wouldn't say that, but I think in this case, without going real high. Sometimes people, I've had people, oh my gosh, they would say, okay, so I'm going to take MSM, which is for joint health. And so actually this was a Hollywood person. Instead of taking 1 gram, he took 10 grams. And I'm like, why would you take 10 grams? The people just think.
If one's good, 10's better, right?
Exactly. And they do that with a lot. And I would be concerned with CBDs that people would do that. Gotcha. That would be a major concern.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Okay. Here's one for you. This is a question. Now, this is a real one because this is a personal one. So my family and I, we have a 11-year-old German Shepherd. As a puppy, he wasn't scared of much of anything. As he's gotten older, Titan is his name. As he's gotten older, he is scared to death of storms. So now out there, we see all these CBD products for animals to help them with anxiety, for storms, for... It's summer, so, you know, fireworks season. We bought some CBD for Titan for the storms. So is there any research behind it helping, well, I guess first animals, but for animals slash humans with anxiety, with, of course, I'm not afraid of storms necessarily unless it's a tornado. But but is there anything there for anxiety for animals and or humans?
So with dogs, there's no research. And so I think the vet, it would be interesting to get the vet's take on it because they need to know and they need to know the literature. And they would probably know for with animals. And so the research is there, you know, in humans, the studies aren't the best, but they do show that, you know, there's reduced anxiety in individuals that have high anxiety levels. But also there are other compounds that probably have much more research that you may want to consider, you know. I have a Doberman and she is wired. And so, yeah. And so there are ingredients such as L-theanine. She gets melatonin on a daily basis. But there's also ashwagandha and valerian and passion flower. There's a number of compounds that, you know, some of them have good research that really show that it helps to moderate anxiety levels, you know, and help to relax.
which... All of those products, I mean, that's almost a show in itself, anxiety and all those other products. But so is there much research or any at all about CBD and anxiety? There is that it does help with anxiety?
So there is some human studies that were done a while ago, and the dosages are very difficult to understand. It, you know, is a moderate dose that was actually effective of 300 milligrams. And it was done with individuals that were actually doing public speaking. During the public speaking, it was not effective. But afterwards, the moderate level of 300 milligrams was considered significantly effective. You know, it's subjective, which, you know, always concerned, you know, with studies like that. But at least it gives, and there's some other studies that have been done with anxiety that give us a basis that it would be beneficial. So, and also with sleeping.
It affects everyone differently. So, I mean, you know your body, right? And you know how things make you feel. So listen to it.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it makes you feel uneasy or not right, then don't do it, I guess.
Yes.
All right. So with us today is Ms. Judy Q. She has been with us for a couple of weeks now. And we have talked about her background and about some myths, some research behind CBD, hemp, even the legal side of it, which is still not 100% certain. But Ms. Judy Q, thank you so much for being with us. And I want to also point out, we mentioned a little bit about anxiety. And if you want to come and listen to us again next week, I think Ms. Judy Q is going to be with us again. We're going to talk a little bit about anxiety and maybe about how CBD helps that, but how other things, supplements, can help anxiety because it is such a... such a major issue in our life today. So thank you, Ms. Judy Q. And if you also are interested in learning more about what she has studied in her career, she has a podcast coming up. The date is TBD. So please check out the website, Stonecom, and find out when her podcast is going to get started. Ms. Judy Q, thank you so much.
Very welcome.
That was Local Matters.